All right, let's talk some Eagles football. Our next guest, Elliot Shore Parks, obviously does a fantastic job covering the Eagles. He's brought to us today by Colonial Hyundai. Shop online 24/7 at colonialhyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the fast, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. It is cut down day. Doing quick math here. 8 hours and 2 minutes until we definitively find out who made it and who didn't. Maybe news trickles out first. Prior to that, Elliot joins us right now. Good morning, Elliot.
What up? How you guys doing this
Good,
morning?
Buddy. Super. So, Elliot, I think the most interesting cut scenario or not is James Bradberry.
Yeah.
I think the next most interesting is Paris Campbell. Take me inside your mindset on both Bradberry and Paris Campbell.
Yeah, so I think the bit of news yesterday that would impact Paris Campbell is the potential injury to rookie receiver Anaya Smith. According to NFL Network, he left Saturday's game with some ankle and hamstring soreness, and you just have to wonder if that's a way to get him on injured reserve and not expose him to waivers. And if that seems to be the path that they're going down, I think that is good news for Paris Campbell. Obviously, the trade for Jahan Dotson impacts Paris Campbell. He's not going to be that third receiver anymore, but I do still think he has value. So I think after that that news yesterday, Paris Campbell's chances of making the roster went up. And as for James Bradberry, kind of the same situation that they've been in all offseason. I don't think they're going to cut James Bradberry. I think if they get a trade offer for him, and obviously doesn't have to be much, they would do it. But Vic Fangio has spoken highly of him and his transition to safety. I think they really like him as a person and what he brings to that locker room. So I think as of 4 o'clock, James Bradberry will be on the roster.
It's quite a rebound for him. I mean, that's impressive. Now, let me ask you this,
next
Elliot.
Next year Elliot, I'm is different.
Well, though. No, he won't be here next year. Elliot, I'm curious. He probably would not be here if he didn't have the contract, even as an improved player at safety. Is he good enough to play, Elliot? Like, let's say he's the backup week one and Gardner Johnson gets hurt in Green Bay. Can they put Bradberry in the game and Eagles fans feel like he can actually hold it down?
So I think he can. Vic Fangio has said he's been impressed by his transition to safety. Look, is he a starting caliber safety in the NFL? No. Is he one of the top backup safeties in the NFL? No. But he is somebody that, especially with them playing too high safety, I do think he can take half the field. Now, we've seen in the preseason games, he's made mistakes for sure. He had that missed tackle on the one play. He misread on a play that led to a touchdown.
Yeah.
So he is learning the position still, for sure. But when you talk about backup safeties, I don't know if many teams have great options at backup safety. So if he has to go in, are they going to suffer? Of course, but most teams will if they go to their backup.
So do we have a better idea now at linebacker who the starters are? Has that shaken out to where you have a clear view? Elliot, or is this still going to work itself out all the way up to this first opening game?
So I think the plan at linebacker is Devin White is going to be the main linebacker. I think he'll play the most snaps week one. But I also think with the camp that N'Kobe Dean had, and the surprising camp, I would say, that Jeremiah Trotter Jr. had, to have it as a rookie and it look like he can play already, I think you're going to see a lot of different packages with those linebackers. I think you'll see different combinations out on the field. I think all four will be out on the field at one point in week one, but I still think it'll predominantly be Devin White, Zach Bond, N'Kobe in there for sure, and then Trotter and different packages.
Did Bryce Huff prove what he needed to prove this preseason to make the coaching staff feel confident he can do everything he needs to do?
So, I mean, he will be out there. Like, he's going to play. So, in some ways, it kind of doesn't matter. They're not going to take Bryce Huff off the field in week one. I think in terms of proving he can do it, that's going to be something he can't really do until the regular season begins. In training camp, it's hard to really prove it. Like, it's not full go. It's not tackling. And then he played in the preseason, but it's not like he played, five or six quarters worth of action against the run. So, it was limited snaps. But I do think they're encouraged by where he's at. Vic Fangio has said that, he's improving at it. So I just think it's going to be one of those things where we'll find out week one right away in Brazil, because I'm sure the Packers are going to run right at him. And, you know, over time, he'll have to keep those snaps that they're giving.
Yeah.
Does it feel like we are starting more experienced cornerbacks on the outside and putting Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean at the nickel and trying to let their athleticism allow them the two-way go? How do you expect the cornerback spot shakes out when it's all said and done?
Yeah, so I think another part of the Bradberry discussion is Eagles don't really have experience at corner. They have Darius Slay, and then outside of that, that's kind of it. Keeley has played a little bit in the NFL. Isaiah Rodgers had that season in Indianapolis, but he hasn't played in a full year. And then, of course, Quinyon and Cooper DeJean are rookies. Cooper, I didn't think, had a good game on Saturday against the Vikings. Not the end of the world. It's his first game. You know, since that injury, first game in the NFL.
He was just out there running around. Like, really, yeah. It looked like...
It was bad.
Lots of snaps, not a lot of precision.
Yeah.
So I think the takeaway from that was he's not ready to play week one against Brazil.
He'll be deactivated, right, Elliot, week one?
Yeah, I think there's a chance, for sure.
Special teams matter a lot, though, guys.
I'm just telling you, I will
he
be...
He can still run down and cover kickoffs and punts. He can block well on those returns. We know how much that stuff is going to matter. But we're going to put a whole new strategy out there on the field in week one. I wonder how much his athleticism and versatility is going to make a difference in terms of him getting on the field, even though he can't. It looks as though he's not ready as a defender.
Right.
He might be extremely ready as a special teamer.
Might be. Or not. I mean, we'll see. I'm just giving you a prediction. My prediction is he'll be deactivated. We'll see. Go ahead, Elliot.
I also, just to finish answering your question, in terms of the experience, I think you will see Quinyon start on the outside. But what they'll do is, when they move to nickel, which will be the majority of snaps they're in, you'll then see Keeley or Isaiah Rodgers come out. But I do think over camp, and especially these past few weeks, Quinyon has won the job on the outside as that starting corner. It's just a matter of when they go to nickel, that's when he'll slide inside.
All right, Elliot. And Elliot Sherparks with us here today. Cut down day for the Eagles. I mean, some players could be finding out. Right now they're getting cut, obviously. They got to announce it all by 4 o'clock, turn it into the league. Elliot, let's talk for a moment.
What he just said was interesting, though. So Quinyon Mitchell won the outside spot, in your opinion, over Isaiah Rodgers and over Keeley Ringo.
Yeah, he did. The only caveat to that is that he'll also be the nickel. So,
right.
So while,
but that's still a huge deal.
That's a huge deal.
I mean, he's good enough to be the outside. Like, that's great. We hit on that pick. If that, you know, it feels like we hit on that pick, and this is supporting that.
Well, I think part of what you're saying, Elliot, is he played well, which is particularly impressive given that the players that are not getting the starting nod also played well.
Yeah, I don't think he was handed the job. I mean, we've all seen rookies over the years where they're just, you know, you were a first round pick, you're going to play. That is what it is. I don't think he was handed it. I think he impressed them in camp and won that job.
All right, Elliot, I want to talk about the quarterback position, but not the starting spot. So this is the organization that famously won a Super Bowl with a backup quarterback. It's also the organization 22 years ago when Donovan got injured. You know, Andy Reid reached out to the multi-year retired Troy Aikman to say, hey, my starting quarterback's injured. You want to come play for me? I got a chance to win a Super Bowl here. Can you come be my guy? Troy obviously said no, but it was fascinating. I think, Elliot, they have a backup quarterback problem. And I don't think the Eagles are comfortable when they have a backup quarterback problem. What do you make of Kenny Pickett? What do you make of Tanner McKee? And is there any hope that maybe Howie pulls something out of his hat to make a trade to try to bolster that room?
So I really don't think Kenny has been as bad as the outside public seems to think. He's not been great in the preseason games. I agree with that. But that's only a portion of what they see. Like when I'm at practice every day, he's had good days. Like he has been better than Tanner McKee overall, in my opinion, in practices. And they traded a non-insignificant amount to get him. So I would be surprised if they made a move at quarterback today. I think they are going to go with Kenny as their backup. And with McKee as their third, is it possible they would trade him if they got an offer that's out of this world? Yeah, probably, but I don't think they'll get an insane offer for him. So I think the backup quarterbacks will be Kenny Pickett and Tanner McKee.
All right, we'll see. Is the guard good enough? Is Becton going to be able to hang in there, or is he overmatched?
I don't feel confident about the right guard spot. Becton, you know, his athleticism combined with Jeff Stoutland, I think maybe over time he could turn into a great guard. And I think as a run blocker, he will be good. The issue with him, I think, is going to be pass protection, and I think a major issue is going to be communication along the line against blitzes. Those starting five offensive linemen did not get a lot of reps together in training camp. They, you know, just because of injuries, this guy missing a day, the other guy missing a day, they just haven't gotten that work together. Yeah. So when you combine the experience with the lack of reps, like, I am concerned about pass protection week one.
All right, Elliot, final thing here. I want to talk week one a little bit more hardcore in a way we have not yet. So the game's in 10 days. It's on a Friday night. Do you know yet when they're leaving? I mean, for a Friday night game in Brazil, do you leave on Tuesday? Do you leave on Wednesday? Do you leave on Monday? Do they practice down there? How? What is the machinations to prepare for that game and a extremely long flight to then be ready to go play effectively in the game?
Yeah, so what's interesting about the Brazil is the time difference is not that drastic. It's only 1 hour. So, you know, when teams go to London, it's about a 6 hour flight, but you also deal with a 5 hour time difference.
Right.
Brazil straight shot down is about 9.5 hours. And then there's a 1 hour time difference. So they're not going to go out there for 4 or 5 days. The game is on Friday. I believe they'll leave Wednesday. They'll have some variation of a walkthrough on Thursday, which will be mostly just, you know, for NFL media. I don't think it's going to be a true practice, but they'll do their normal practice week prior to leaving. The normal 3 days, you know, the practices, the Friday walkthrough will be.
So that would probably be Sunday, Monday, Tuesday then, right?
Yeah. Sunday becomes Tuesday.
Yeah.
Monday becomes Wednesday.
That's weird, man.
Tuesday becomes, wow.
That's really weird. All right.
Yeah, it's a unique way to start the season.
It is. Elliot, nice
work,
buddy.
But it gives you 2 extra days. It's good for week two.
It's and then a Monday night game.
You got a flight back
oh,
and all
three
that.
3 extra days.
Yeah,
three extra days.
Right. All right,
that's
Elliot.
Okay.
Nice work, pal. We'll talk to you later this week. Thanks, dude.
Sounds good. Talk to you.
All right, man. Fascinating situation with the Birds. By the way, great job by the Phils last night, battling back from a 2-0 deficit. Rojas with a phenomenal play to keep it a tie score. And then, of course, I don't want to lose sight of the Phils. I mean, we'll take your reaction on everything we talked about with Elliot there on the Eagles. But Phils as well, because in the 10th inning, Bryce Harper came through.
First and second with nobody out. Ground ball, right side, into right field, a base hit. Here comes Schwarber around third, heading for home. Here's the throw to the plate. Not in time! Bryce Harper wins it. Here in the bottom of the 10th inning, 3-2.
Tremendous. Crowd's digging it. They can feel
it's the seventh walk-off win of the year for the Phils.
Awesome stuff. So the Phils, they keep that 6-game lead on the Braves. And
seventh.
Now,
that's the seventh walk-off. Did you say seventh
I'm sorry.
Walk-off
I thought you said six
win of the year?
Off.
I believe
yeah.
That's what he said, yeah.
I felt like we hadn't. I felt like there was a while, for a long time, where we just saw that one Mikel Franco walk-off. In like our entire of baseball.
No, that was just when we were there. There's always like somewhere in this range per year. Yeah. Every team has like 5 to 10 or 12 or whatever.
My perception when we started doing this was walked anyone off.
Just
no, you're right,
games.
Because we stunk. That was a big part of it.
215-592-9494. All right, speaking of the Phils, really cool story about the newest Phil. We'll get to that up ahead. More of Rob Thompson on Taijuan Walker. Brian Baldinger on the Eagles at 8:35. And a lot of calls. Your thoughts on all these topics. Joe to Cameron, John Ritchie. It's 94W. Well, phenomenal as always to be with you. In this case, on a Tuesday morning with the Phils having gotten a win yesterday. And it's not only 3 in a row, but 8 of 12. And the Eagles, of course, it's a big day. I'll tell you, we view this through the prism of, obviously, what makes the Eagles the best team this year on the cutdown day. And most of these decisions are, frankly, very easy. But, I mean, there is a human side of this that, you know, you got to feel for some of these dudes whose dreams are about to get shattered in the next couple of hours. Now, some of them will latch on somewhere else, but most of them never will. I mean, they might get in another camp sometime, but most of these guys that get cut today, frankly, probably will never play in a pro football game moving forward. So, you know, it's and you hear about the Turk. John, the Turk, when you got cut, Did the Turk come to you, the guy that says,
no.
Hey, why don't you drop by Andy Reid's office? How did it work?
I was home. I was back in Mechanicsburg. I'd gone to my high school Friday night game. I think it was a Saturday. It was my birthday. It was Tom Heckard called and said, yeah, hey, Andy's going to be calling you. I was back at my parents' house, and I was thinking, Wow, that's weird. It's never happened. Andy's calling me. I wonder what this is about.
So Hecker did not lead on what it was about.
No idea.
Of course you did.
No idea. I was in the driveway of my parents' house.
Everyone else is like, oh.
No idea.
What could this be?
This guy had been cut before.
I love it.
I was starting. I was the starting fullback. I was the only fullback who was playing. The other two fullbacks were injured.
Well, they weren't good. Here's what John Ritchie said to Tom Hecker that day. What do you mean he's going to call me? I mean, dumb John Ritchie.
No, it really did not occur to me.
So what about...
I just love the idea of they, like, soft launch it. They're like, hey, just so you know, you're getting a phone call.
That's weird, right? It's like a soft launch
of a cut.
99% of people would know what that means.
Right, of course.
John is the 1% that did not.
I was looking forward to talking to Andy. Like, wow, this is really cool. Maybe he wants to talk about Joe, my son. Wow. Like, he met Joe this summer. Maybe he wants to ask about it.
No. I gave you a warning.
Like, if Ava called us and was like, hey, Rod's going to call you, I would be like, well, this is bad. Like, there's no other way around
this. Rod works for us.
Oh, okay.
If we found out his boss was going to call us, then... All right, John, what about...
I hadn't even considered that it was cut day. I had never thought
cut day was a
complication.
You're a different
dude.
And now
suddenly it was... everything.
Right, one more thing. Didn't you latch on somewhere and then get cut again? Was that Cincy?
No, I tried to go to Cincinnati. I couldn't pass the physical. They took me to the hospital and x-rayed two body parts and didn't even take me to the facility then. They just took me back to the airport. They said, we know you've been playing. We don't know how you've been playing.
So you were damaged goods.
Yeah.
That's a shame. All right, let's get a lot of calls in here. 215-592-9494. We haven't talked to Baldy in a while. We'll talk to Baldy coming up in about 15 minutes. Mike right now. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, my friend.
What's up,
John,
Mike?
Sounds like you experienced the equivalent of the, oh, wow, I had a meeting with HR this afternoon. I wonder what that's for.
John's maybe I'll get a raise, you know? An extra week of vacation.
You just want to tell me how good a job I'm doing. Thanks.
Employee of the month.
So funny. Yeah. God. Well, first of all,
it didn't feel funny at the time.
No, I'm sure it didn't.
All
right, Mike, go ahead, man. What do you got?
Yeah. So, you know, you could tell that we're getting closer to the start of the Eagles season because, like, you could feel the fear in the conversations, the more concerns, the more, you know, things we like to, you know, to poke at and pick at, where I'm like, you know what we're not talking about enough?
Mm.
How awesome this team is going to be. Like, I understand we might have a little bit of a leak on the offensive line in the right guard position. I get that. I know we don't know if we're going to have any kind of outside pressure from our defensive line. I get that. However, I also get that our offense is so loaded. Like, even if we have a leak up the middle on the offensive line, we have the answer on every single skill position. Every single one. So I don't see how we don't score at least an average of 32 points a game this year.
Well, that's really high. I'll say this, Mike, and Devin hit this earlier. You know, the offensive line, we have grown accustomed for, in some ways, close to 25 years for them being awesome, but particularly under Stoutland for a decade. You know, no Jason Kelce. That is not insignificant. Now, I know they have a better replacement than the Phillies had when Mike Schmidt retired. It was like, all right, here's Rick Shue
and Juergens
Chris James and you know
awesome.
Whatever that was, okay?
Hold on. Cam Juergens was picked out by Kelce because he's so much like Kelce. And that's a rarity to be like Kelce. This was a situation where Jason Kelce himself was like, holy cow,
that's nice,
this guy plays football like me.
Yeah.
I really like this prospective player.
I put some but not as much stock into it as you do.
Oh my gosh, he's going to be so good.
Mike, here's the way I would frame the situation. Cam Juergens can and probably will be good. That can still be a far cry from a Hall of Fame level player. And I don't think the town is talking about it enough.
Well, I agree that we have not talked about that specific replacement enough. But I also think many of us feel that Juergens will do a good enough job where it's like, wow, did we really miss Kelce that much? Plus, look, we still got Lane. We still got Mailata. We still got Dickerson.
Mailata's got to be better. They need Mailata. to be great. It's time for him to take the next step. I look, his career is an incredible win, right? Getting a guy out of nowhere that becomes a starter and will be for a long time. But where he was about 2 years ago, frankly, I expect it more. It's time for him to take a next step.
Last year is unfair to evaluate these offensive tackles pass protection wise because I do think they were funky. Sort of led down a weird path with that protection scheme.
All right, Mike, give me a great answer, man. This is we're looking for the tickets for the Killers, a fascinating dynamic relationship between two different people of different generations from a fictional world. What do you got?
Dr. Emmett Brown and Marty McFly.
Wow.
Big.
That's a huge
big answer.
I love that. And they're really close. And all those years together through the years bonded them more than anyone else could be bonded.
That's big.
That's huge.
No, that's it. Listen.
How are you going to beat that?
Well, Yoda and Luke is great.
Yeah, Yoda and Luke is big.
What are you? Stop.
No, it was said by a caller.
It was said already. It was said already. Yeah.
Tony Soprano and Uncle June was great. I mean,
where did he get the
affrontery? The age gap with Yoda and Luke is by far the largest. Yoda's
Yoda's
800
or 900.
Okay. Yeah, he's about 9.
So centuries.
Centuries.
Oh, yeah.
Almost a
we're talking
millennium. Millennial?
Almost a millennium.
Millennium.
If
it's one.
Almost a millennium.
I thought millenniums have pluralized millenniums.
Millennia.
No, I thought it was millennia.
That's the plural.
Multiple. That's plural,
I got it wrong. I got to learn my Latin again. A-E-A-E-A-M. A with a long mark. That's for anyone that... What's that called?
Too bad you're not able to learn.
I didn't take Latin.
Declensions?
Unlike you, took it like 6 times
something
or
like that. All right. Let me give you a really cool story from the Phils. And it's actually not about the win last night, which was cool. But there was something before the game that was... I'm going to call it touching. These are the feel-good stories we need from time to time as fans. So the Phillies yesterday called up this guy named Buddy Kennedy. Now, maybe prior to yesterday, you never heard of Buddy Kennedy. I never heard of Buddy Kennedy prior to yesterday. He played just a little bit in the majors before, mostly a minor leaguer. He's from the area. He went to Millville. He went to the same school that Mike Trout went to in Millville, New Jersey, Millville High School. His grandfather is Don Money, who was the Phillies' third baseman before Mike Schmidt was the third baseman. So you're going back to the late 60s, the early 70s, when Don Money was a Phillies player, and now his grandson has made the Phillies. Don Money got a phone call from Buddy Kennedy yesterday where Buddy Kennedy calls his grandpa up and says, and here's the quote, he said, "I told him we got another Philly in the family." Now, look, this guy probably won't be here that long. Philly's made a bunch of roster moves yesterday, one of which was just replacing Weston Wilson, who went on the paternity list. So this is probably not going to last long, maybe 2 days, maybe 4 days, who knows, right? By the way, we hope Alvarado's okay. He's out for a personal reason. We don't know what that's about. He left pretty abruptly yesterday. Hopefully things work out there. We'll see in time. But Buddy Kennedy, in relaying the story, also talked about, you know, calling other members of his family. And he said, talking to his mom and grandmother, he said, quote, "They all screamed. My mom almost blew my ear out on the phone. My grandmother cried. It's a special day today." So congrats to that family. Congrats to Millville High School getting another player, you know, in this case, not only to the big leagues, but to the Phillies. And it probably won't last long, but it's something he'll remember forever. Look, who knows? I mean, you know, maybe he sticks around, get an injury, something. Who knows? But congratulations to Buddy Kennedy, who grew up as a Phillies fan and attended the 08 World Series as a Phils fan rooting that squad on. 215-592-9494. Brian Baldinger in about 5 minutes. Ken and Cinnaminson right now. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, friends. How are you today?
Doing well, Ken.
Fantastic.
Interesting insight into the mind of a guy who never had to worry about being picked last in gym class in his life by John Ritchie there. Never even occurred to him that Andy Reid would be calling him to tell him he was cutting him.
No idea.
That's awesome. Listen, I'll make a quick Eagles point because I am infuriated right now, as I told James.
About what?
I'll give you 3 guesses. The first 2 don't count. But on the Eagles first, listen.
Oh, are you talking Taiwan?
Well, yeah. With Cam Jurgens, he's not going to be as good as Jason Kelce right away, no question about that. But I think you can at least expect that Cam is going to be better than Jason Kelce was in 2014, 2015 time frame. When you remember back then, concerned about the fact he couldn't anchor in against the bigger
guys.
Yeah,
I remember.
We really, we really thought Seumalo was drafted to replace him. So that's why I don't think we're all too worried about Cam Jurgens, because he's going to be good. He might not be Hall of Fame good yet, but he's going to be good.
Yeah, to be fair, Jurgens is not replacing 2014 Kelce. He's replacing the Kelce of the last 5 years. That was
correct.
As good a center as certainly I ever saw here, and one of the best that the NFL's probably ever had. I mean, it's not like Kelce limped to retirement. I mean, he was racking off all pro seasons every year in the last 3 or 4 years. That was unbelievable.
He was the best center in my lifetime, which goes back further than yours. That includes Dwight Stevenson.
I don't know how he compares to those guys. You know, Mike Webster and Dwight Stevenson and Kevin Mawai.
He was so much
and,
flashier I mean, than your average center because he could do things that were more,
Damani Dawson.
It just might be the best ever. So
Hank
much
Frill.
More exciting.
Termani Dawson might be the best ever, legitimately.
Hey, maybe Jason Kelce is.
Yeah, well, he's up there. I mean,
he's up there. Not,
like, those the, it's that,
he's
those two there. And Mike Webster, like all the center accolades, all pros, all that, those are the guys.
Think about the fact that he snapped it and then pulled. That was like his signature.
That's right.
That was new. Other people weren't asking a center to actually snap it and then figure out a way to get out to the edge. He was that.
It was great. It was great. All right, Ken, go ahead, man. We cut you off. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, the point is there was a journey to get there, and Cam Jurgens starts his journey further down the road than Jason Kelce did.
Yeah, I agree. That's a great way to put it.
I agree with that.
So, Taiwan Walker, I said yesterday that I can't take this organization seriously about winning a World Series if Taiwan Walker is going to continue to start games. The thing that this signals to me is that never mind the fact that I have to go down there to this game tomorrow and I have to watch him mope through 3 2/3 inning in 137 degree weather.
Yep.
You know, forget that part. This signals to me that they have no intention of taking him out of the rotation.
No, I disagree with that. Listen, there's no way this goes to the end of the season.
We didn't think it was going to go to another start and then another start. We didn't think that. I mean, this is obstinance now. And look, there's 31 games left. Nothing has been decided, and this signals to the team that we are willing to give away games because when
I agree. No, there's no question. It signals that there's no question.
So if this also signals what I think it signals, which is unless he winds up with another blister or an ingrown fingernail or something like that, that they're not going to take him out of the rotation.
Look, Ken, here's in my opinion the Phillies' worst nightmare, and it could happen. The Phillies lose home field advantage, whether it's NLCS, division round, whatever, and they lose a final game of a series on the road. You know, to LA, to Milwaukee, whatever, and we trace it back to these extra. Let's call it the extra 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 starts, however many extra Taiwan gets that he shouldn't get. That is the nightmare scenario, and that could happen. I mean,
the nightmare scenario is this, Joe. If they really aren't going to take him out of the rotation, there's 31 games left. That means you're willing to give away one out of every 5 games out of these next 31, which means that's 6 losses.
No, I know. I get it, man. It's not good. All right, Ken, give me a great answer. Intriguing relationship, 2 different generations.
Walter Kowalski and Tal from Gran Torino.
Yes, that's an interesting answer as well. Gran Torino, what was that, about 10 years ago?
Jeez, I barely remember that.
Yeah, so that's old man. Why am I blanking on his name right now?
Clint.
Old man Clint. You know,
I just remember the one scene from him on the front porch. And I don't know if that's because like it's
the most famous
old man
scene.
On the front porch shaking his walking
Pretty
stick
much.
Is the image.
Yeah, but they broke bread by the end of the movie. And they were on good terms. All right, let's get to the Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. If you're thinking about making this, I'm assuming he's saying the protagonist in that movie, not the antagonist. I don't know the name of the character, but there was like the good guy and I think the bad guy. I assume he was talking good guy. All right, Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. If you're thinking about making the switch to an electric vehicle, think Armin Chevrolet. Armin has incredible leases on the Blazer EV and Equinox EV. Together, let's drive. Today's poll question, who do you think made the decision to give Taiwan Walker another start? They can talk all they want about how these are joint decisions. At the end of the day, it's somebody's call. You know, as Harry Truman famously said about 70 years ago, the buck stops here. Where do you think the buck stopped on the Taiwan Walker thing? John Middleton, Dave Dombrowski, or Rob Thompson? I believe it stopped at Dave Dombrowski. My vote would be Dombrowski, and here's why. I mean, Middleton at the end of the day is truly in charge. But I think in this case, as he does in most cases, Middleton defers to Dombrowski. You do what you think is best. And then Dombrowski sets things in motion. I feel bad for Rob Thompson because I think he's being handed a horrible pitcher that he is told you got to start. And I think it's a mistake by Dombrowski. 215-592-9494. All right, let's talk to our next guest. Brian Baldinger, obviously one of the most notable pro football analysts, whether it's around here, whether it's around the nation. Phenomenal job covering the Eagles and the entire National Football League. We have not talked to Baldy, man. It's got to be 4, 5, 6 months. Baldy, good morning.
Good morning.
How you been, pal? You all fired up?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I'm counting down the days. I'll be in Sao Paulo, Brazil, next Friday. I'm looking forward to it.
That's awesome. Baldy, before we get to all the good, and there's a lot of good to get to and some stuff to figure out, let's just actually start, because I think it's a fascinating human dynamic, the bad that some of these players, about 30 or 40 of them, are about to face in the next couple hours getting cut. How tense is it? I mean, you've been cut, you've been kept, you've seen teammates get cut. What is it like? How tense is it when guys' jobs are on the line and they truly don't know or maybe do know what their fate's going to be?
I tell you, I mean, it's a whirlwind of emotions. I remember my rookie year, Joe. I was with the Cowboys, but we all the rookies stayed in a hotel. And there was like, after the last preseason game, there was probably like 10 of us.
How many were there back then, Baldy, preseason games?
You're not going to believe this, but we had 110 free agents and 15 draft picks in 1982. We had 125 rookies. We were down to 10, and we're all in this hotel, and we're all, like, locked in our rooms. Like nobody's doing anything. We're just waiting on a phone call, whether we're in or we're out. And Gil Brandt called me and asked me if I wanted to go to dinner tomorrow night, and I was like, what's this all about? He's like, well, you know, because we're welcoming you to the team, Baldy, you know. So, but it's tight, it's tense, and for some of these guys have been cut before, you know, so they're second or third time around. But for the first time, it's a gut punch, and you're not really sure. You know, you call your agent, you call your family, your wife, whatever it is, but you know, you're not sure if it's over, or if you've done enough to maybe garner a chance someplace else. But it's a gut punch that you never forget.
You see guys cry.
Yeah, it happens, man.
I'm sure it does.
You can get it both ways.
This
you
is your life.
You can get tears of just angst, and you can get tears of just of joy. I mean, it can be tears either way.
Yeah, that's fascinating. All right, Baldy, let's get to this squad. You know, as it's going to be shaped largely by the top, 30 or so players, but the main one is Jalen Hurts. All right. Big picture on Jalen, obviously they're trying to recreate some stuff, his 2022 magic, recreate this offense, be less predictable, the Kellen Moore thing. Are you a believer in Jalen long-term with the Eagles? Where do you stand on Jalen as he embarks on what will now be his fifth year in pro football?
Yeah, I'm a fan. I mean, last year was the collapse was the collapse. It's not going to go away until they start playing this year. It was a terrible stink. He was a part of it. But I do think coaching matters. I do think the team around the quarterback matters. It's a better team today than it was in January in Tampa. It's a better team around them. And so I think the coaching matters, though. They had no answers for blitzes last year. He was part of the problem. He was reading the rush too much. When teams like Tampa did blitz, they had no answer for it. I think Kellen Moore will definitely have an answer. I think the short sets, the quick throws, all that is in. I think it's going to help Jalen. Just knowing Jalen, I don't pretend to know him, deeply, but he's always wanted to be coached hard. And I think Doug Nussmeier and Kellen Moore have coached him hard this spring and summer.
Baldy, how much different, how much better is that pass protection going to be? You talk about how it's just going to be a change. I expect it to be night and day compared to last year. I just wonder what you think that's going to look like.
Well, I mean, first of all, I mean, you talk to Todd. I mean, Todd Bowles will, if I started writing down all the blitzes and pressures they did against the Eagles, like I'd run out of paper, run out of pen, but it's going to be better. Like, you're not going to get a better tandem of tackles than Mulata and Lane Johnson on the edges. But if they're bringing four to the weak side and you only have three blockers, somebody's coming free, you better have an answer for it. The protection should be better. They should have answers when they have the weak side blitzes or the overload pressures or the free hitters coming at you.
Look like you know it's coming. Yeah. That would be great. Like,
that would help a whole lot.
Yes, it would. Baldy, let's get to the head coach. So, all right, I hear you. You're a believer in Jalen. Are you as big a believer in Nick Sirianni as you are in Jalen Hurts?
I am. And then here's why. I mean, first of all, there's no other team in this league that has started 8-0 and 10-0 in the last 2 years. Now, you could debate all you want down the stretch. There's nobody that's come close to starting off the way the Eagles are starting. You could say it's a schedule. That's fine.
You could say it's Howie Roseman picking the guys who are that good.
Howie's been amazing.
Yeah.
8-0 and 10-0 in the last 2 years to start the seasons. He's getting the team ready to play. I mean, you can argue a bunch of things and all the things that were written this offseason about the relationship and that. The guy went out and fixed the coaching staff. They weren't being developed on a defensive line. He went out and got two better coordinators than they ever had last year. And so, I mean, I think he's helped do
And that was Nick?
Things. Well, I think he had a lot to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Baldy, so hold on. Why did one side of the football in this training camp? Why did one side of the football, the defense, practice starters in the preseason, and the other side, the offense, didn't practice starters in the preseason?
I think they needed it. I mean, have you seen Nolan Smith play? I mean, he needs to play. Like, I haven't seen him make a play. I mean, have you?
No.
I mean, he's a first round pick. I haven't seen him bust an egg out there. Like, he needs to play. Like, I haven't seen any development from him. Like, I'm not ripping on Nolan Smith, but, like, some of these guys got to play. I mean, Jalen Carter, did he play? I mean, a couple snaps. Bryce Huff, a couple snaps. I mean, the guys that have proven themselves that look like they're going to be good players, they were getting ready for week one, but some of these guys have to play.
How good is Bryce Huff?
Well, I mean, Bryce Huff has been – I love Bryce. I mean, he is electric off the edge. He's got an amazing takeoff. He's never been a full-time player, ever. And, you know, Vic has been asked about it a bunch this preseason. He doesn't really have a firm answer about it. I mean, all I can say is we got to go wait and see. Green Bay will test him for sure. I mean, they're a big team that uses their tight ends. They like the running game. He's going to get tested in the run game. When he gets a chance on 3rd and 10 to come out to the quarterback, he shows up. And he did in New York. But, I mean, he has not been an every-down player in his career. He's got to prove that he can do that.
Baldy, how concerned are you about the pass rush this season, the Eagles' pass rush getting home?
I'm concerned. I'm generally – like, that's my biggest concern on the whole team is what their defensive line – they have been built around a two-tier system where you dress and play 8 guys and you rotate them, and I'm concerned. I'm concerned about where the rush is going to come from. Brandon Graham said, the guy's going to go down as an all-timer Philadelphia Eagle. I don't know what he has left. I mean, I don't know what he has. I don't know if he knows. Mm. But you tell me what you're excited about. We have not seen anything from Jordan Davis in 2 years. Are we going to see a different Jordan Davis this year? Because I don't know. I mean, I want to see him stay on the field 5 plays. I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, they're going to need Jalen Carter to dominate because I agree with you, Baldy. I think up front they're a lot thinner than they normally are.
I agree with that. I agree. You know, there's no Chris Long coming off the bench on this roster right now. But yes, Jalen Carter, he's the perfectly constructed defensive tackle.
Yeah.
And he has the ability to be a top 5 defensive tackle in this whole business. It's really up to him. And I don't know how they use him. I want to see, like, what kind of, does he play 60% of the snaps? 70%. I mean, that'd be nice if he can. But it takes time for these guys to really become. I mean, it took a while for Dexter Lawrence to become Dexter Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these guys, and I would say this to Jordan Davis, because I talked to Dexter about this. You know, big men, 360 pounds, whatever. Like, it's a mental thing to me. If they can stay on the field and impact the game, then the crutch is that I'm tired. I'm winded. I need to get off the field. But I believe you got to fight through that. And it's not just going out and running wind sprints and gassers and saying you're in shape. Like, I'm sure he can do all those things. I'm positive he can. But it is a mental thing for a big guy to say, I'm going to change this game in the fourth quarter. And we have not yet seen that from him.
Why does Vic Fangio seem to fit better as a defensive coordinator in Philadelphia than he did in Miami? Why do the players seem to buy in more to Vic Fangio's system here than they did in Miami? It was problematic there. They say they love the old school approach that he's showing them here. What gives with that?
Some guys can handle that gruff attitude and the barking. I mean, nobody was better and nobody had a better taste of that than the great Jim Johnson here in Philadelphia. I mean, you can hear his bark from a mile away when you go out to practice.
That's for sure.
Some guys, they bark and people respond to it. Some people don't.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope they respond because, like, he wants this to be as a final stop.
Yeah.
And he's got a lot to work with here. He's got to do it, though.
So on the other side of the football, how much more are the Eagles going to hand it off to running backs this year than what we've become accustomed to the last few years?
Well, I think there's a group of people in that organization that believe you have to throw the ball to win games and win Super Bowls.
This doesn't sound like what I'm looking for, Baldy.
John, they got A.J. Brown and Devontae. They're going to throw it a lot, man. That's what I'm telling you.
Well, they should. You should, but I mean, at the same time, you talk to DeAndre Swift and you try to figure out why they didn't feed him the ball. Like, why? Why they stopped giving it to him? He's a hell of a back. He's having a good offseason in Chicago. He's enjoying being there when I talk to him. But I don't know why they stopped giving it to him. Especially with this offensive line. But there is a balance. Shane was awesome at being able to figure out that balance. And the quarterback ran the ball better than we've ever seen, including Randall Cunningham. We better than any quarterback we've ever seen in Philadelphia. I mean, he was a big part of the running game, whether it was designed runs or whether it was scrambles or, you know, things that he just all took off with. But they found a tremendous balance that year in figuring out what was appropriate and when it was time to run it. We got to see what Kellen wants to do. But, you know, my guess is, they're not going to run it more than they throw it in this offense. But with Saquon, who knows? If he gets hot and he gets some runways going, why would you feed that beast?
Baldy, how close to his athletic brilliance is he? Or put another way, how much is he diminished?
Joe thinks he's over the hill.
No, I didn't say that. How much is he diminished by the wear and tear of injuries and hits?
I think wear and tear, Joe, is a fair. I mean, it's fair. It happens to all players, but I don't think he's very far away from what he did to the Eagles back in, 2018, whatever his rookie year was. Like, you know, he was pretty sensational then, 2,000 yards. I don't think he's very far away from that, but all injuries take its toll. Only he knows when he gets up, you know, on Monday morning after a game. Only he knows that. But I would say that he's not that far away.
Good. I love it. All right, Baldy, I want to do a couple quick around the league, and some of these will impact the Eagles, some won't. But, you know, I know you're tied into so many teams and so many people and players and coaches. Dallas, what was their offseason? I mean, it's like they didn't do anything but take off all their main players until they probably overpaid CeeDee Lamb yesterday. What was that?
Well, they drafted Tyler Guyton and Cooper Beebe, and they're counting on them, and they have had great success drafting linemen at the top of the draft. And if they replace Tyler Biadasz and Tyron Smith, they're going to be a good offense. But I don't know. Like, they don't handle the cap, Joe, the way the Eagles do.
Yeah.
Like, you can see all the money that flew out the door at NovaCare. You can't find it in Dallas. You can't even figure out who they pay. I mean, Stephon Gilmore isn't there. Micah Parsons is on a rookie contract. I mean, I can't figure out who they actually pay. You can say, okay, Trayvon Diggs, they gave him $100 million last year. But you look at their roster and you're like, okay, DeMarcus Lawrence at one time got a big contract. But who else? Like, okay, maybe Zach Martin. But they're, you know, and then, you know, CD yesterday. But honestly, like, it's just strange to me that the Eagles can find money to extend every major player on their team. And the Cowboys struggle to pay their two or three best players.
It's bizarre. All right, Baldy, Andy Reid. You think he just keeps going? I mean, how many more years? 10 more years? 5 more years? What's the deal? And do you think he cares about trying to get Shula's record?
No, I don't think he cares at all. I don't even think he looks at it. I don't even think he knows how many games, you know, Don Shula won. I think Andy just loves to tinker, Joe. I think he loves to tinker. I think he loves building a roster, getting a team ready. I think he loves the whole process. And honestly, like, I guess he could go out to Dana Point to his house in California and stay on the beach for a day maybe. But, like, he's got no other hobby. This is it. Like, you give that guy a roster and a Tuesday night and maybe some Haagen-Dazs, like, Andy's good to go.
Yeah. That's great. What Baldy, about what, go ahead, John.
You want to talk about Andy?
What about Belichick, Baldy? Does he find his way back into pro football?
Oh, I hope so. We're a better league with Bill Belichick coaching.
I agree.
It's only a matter of time.
I totally agree.
I agree with that. Baldy,
He'll freshen up this year, but he'll be back next year.
How good is this Packer opponent going to be in Brazil?
Good question. Yep.
I think they're very talented. They're very talented. I mean, we've never seen young receivers develop with a quarterback as quickly as they did a year ago. Nobody knew who Jaden Reed was or Dontavian Wicks or any of these guys, and they all developed together. The credit to the coach and to the organization. But they changed defensive coordinators this year. I mean, you come across the middle of the field now, Xavier McKinney, they're going to take the middle of the field away. This defense coordinator knows what he's doing. It's a big upgrade over what Joe Barry was.